From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Here, another edition of the Bleed Blue Show. This is the Dugout Podcast, Midwest Road Trip here on the Bleed Blue Show, talking Yankees baseball, bleedblueshow.com. It's, of course, our website. Audio archive episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic. Tune in your Stitcher apps. So, as of right now, the Yankees are on the road as we get ready for a three-game series versus the Texas Rangers down in Arlington, Texas. What, like to say, a good start to the road trip for the most part. Two out of three versus the Royals. Kind of got rained out versus the Nationals. Going to discuss everything that we saw thus far on this road trip. The Yankees climbed back in the first place. That's a good thing. Versus, with the Boston Red Sox. And what's not been said by a lot of Yankee fans up until this point is even though the Red Sox, we had to catch them in the standings, and we've been kind of tied with them for like the last week and so some change. Everybody else, the Tampa Bay Rays, the Toronto Blue Jays, of course, the Baltimore Orioles, they are falling to the wayside. So they're way in the rear view right now. So it's pretty much a New York versus Boston race as we expected in 2018. A lot of things that we did see, we'll bring on the stakeholders in a minute. Sonny Gray had an excellent performance on Sunday. The bats were absolutely phenomenal, specifically on Saturday and Sunday versus the Kansas City Royals. Giancarlo Stanton, Gary Sanchez, Aaron Hicks, Gleyber Torres, even though he had a little botch on Friday with CC Sabathia pitching twice, but he made up for it on Saturday. Tyler Austin with two bombs on Sunday himself. And then we also got to see the return of Clint Frazier. So we're going to bring up a lot of those points. Now, we also have to also bring up the bad, and unfortunately we would not have said this in the month of April, but as of right now, Hedy Gregorius is going through a huge funk right now. We got to discuss that as well. Even the backup players, a lot of these guys never get a lot of shine by a lot of Yankee fans. But Ronald Torres and Austin Romine, man, what a job that they did over the weekend in Kansas City as well. CC Sabathia, Big Luther, got a shout out to him as well. Pitched pretty good, and not his fault that he lost. We'll also discuss that as well. And there's another topic I do definitely want to bring to the table as far as defensively. How important Brett Gardner is. And I think Saturday was a good indication of why he's kind of needed in the lineup. I know it's good to get cute with Stanton in left field, Aaron Hicks in center, Judge in right. But without Gardner, without that speed that he still has left in the tank, and the wheels showed it over the weekend, he's definitely an important piece defensively for what we do. So we'll talk a little bit about the Washington Nationals rainout, and they're going to have to make up that game on June 18th. And, of course, the three-game series versus the Texas Rangers, who are – they can't get out of their own way. And their issue is definitely starting pitching. So the Yankees, if they do what they've been doing the last several weeks, and especially winning eight straight series up until this point and counting, and this is a phenomenal run, they should be able to take at least two out of three versus the Texas Rangers. Don't sleep on anybody. Don't sleep on anybody. But knowing that you got Gray pitched a very good game on Sunday. You also had in tonight's game going up against Bartolo Colon. Bartolo Colon's been around for a long time, at least 20 years. I don't remember how many seasons exactly, but it's been at least 20 seasons. So the Yankees overall, the franchise, have faced him multiple times. Okay? You've got to go up against Tanaka, so you don't know what you're going to get out of Tanaka tonight. And then, of course, Domingo Germán is going to go against Cole Hamels, and then, of course, Big Luther versus Doug Fister. So the Yankees are the bats. It's really the story of this, really the season for the most part. Severino got the win on Saturday. Didn't really look too sharp in my eyes, but let's talk about all this stuff, man. Let's bring on the stakeholders, the Dugout Podcast Midwest Road Trip. Let's start with Sonny Gray. I thought Sonny Gray needed a bounce back, all right? Sonny Gray is somebody I put it like this. Sonny Gray is a guy I thought at the start of this spring training, even before spring training, I thought he was one of the starting pitchers that was going to have a very excellent season. Thus far, I've been wrong about that. He's been inconsistent. He had a couple of good starts prior to the start versus the Oakland Athletics. But he had a good start then, and he kind of bound up against his old team. And the Kansas City Royals, they're not really as good as what they were the last couple of seasons. So it was kind of refreshing that he had that type of performance versus a team that's kind of trying to get back into the mix of things in the AL Central. But he did what he needed to do. He was very effective with his pitches, even his location, and even his efficiency with the pitches as well. So let's talk a little bit of Sonny Gray, and then we'll get into the bats, because I think the start of pitching, what we saw over the last couple of weeks, it's been pretty good. But added Sonny Gray to that mix, and then whenever we get some more arms back, including the bullpen, we'll definitely talk. So let's bring on Ray. Ray, what's your thoughts? How you doing, sir? What's your thoughts on Sonny Gray over the weekend on Sunday? How you doing, Ray?
Hey, how you doing, Steve?
Good,
Sonny Gray. Hey, man, listen, Sonny Gray, man, he bounced back, man. He pitched a hell of a game. That's what he needs. The problem with Sonny Gray, he's been inconsistent. Part of the reason is I feel that this season he's not using his fastball enough. And I think that he needs to start getting more confident and start using that fastball more. And if he starts using a fastball more, I think he can bounce back. But that, and I agree with you, Steve. Like this year, I thought Sonny Gray was going to, you know, shine and pitch better than he did last season. But that hasn't been the case. He's been inconsistent. But I feel that Sonny Gray pitched a hell of a game. And the thing with him is he just needs to have more faith in his fastball. And if he can start doing that, then maybe he can turn it around, man. I mean, it's still early, but still, you know. So that's how I feel about Sonny Gray.
I agree with you that he doesn't trust his fastball, but I think also more so there's no movement on his fastball. That's part of the issue because especially with the mound being where it is as far as distance, the batters could pick up on it, especially if those fastballs doesn't have no late break to it. These guys are really getting on. They've been latching on to the – especially Oakland because they got some power hitters, Chris Davis, guys like that. They could really go to opposite field goal with the pitch. And that's really pretty much his issue, one of the few issues. And as far as taking – he really takes his time on the mound. He really doesn't have it. He didn't really have a tempo before the game versus Kansas City. What I mean by tempo is usually you know what you're going to throw, you know what you're going to pitch. And I know Romine is one of those guys that he's a decent game caller. And with Gray, if you add on to the situations with him not trusting his fastball, like you said, and plus he doesn't have movement. So if you're going up against good quality hitters like the Oakland Athletics, he's going to get bombed like the way he did. But what I really do like, Ray, what I saw in the game on Sunday, he didn't think twice. So him and Roman was pretty much on the same page. He didn't go to the point of just waving off pitches, talking about Roman or shaking them off with Gray. Gray said, hey, I'm throwing this. I'm putting it this way. I'm going to get him out. I'm going to use some late break action on some of my off-speed stuff as well. And this is how we're going to attack him. And I think that was the best way, is just go out and pitch, because he's really one of those slow snail type of pitcher. He takes his time, man. And I think when you think too much, it can hurt you, man, because the batter really has the advantage in those situations. What you think?
I agree. Yes, Steve, I agree. And the thing with, Sonny Gray needs to have a little bit more movement on the fastball. But like I said, like, he needs to, if he's going to throw more of a fastball, he needs to, like, start trying to catch the corner on the outside. You know what I'm saying? So he can get batters that way. That's one of the reasons that he's not. He needs to put a little bit more movement on that fastball. But once I think if he pitches like he did with Kansas City, I think he has a chance of bouncing back this season. The thing is that he needs to rely more and have more faith on that fastball. And he needs to move it around the plate and put it on the outside corner so he can get guys to swing at it. You know, and that's all I got.
And the thing about that fastball, sometimes when he tries to go into the inside corner, he misses bad. So that's probably part of the issue, like you're saying, as far as his confidence. Because some of these go-to pitches, he doesn't have that confidence. But we only could go off of what we see. And what we saw versus Kansas City was a very good performance. It was a much-needed performance. It wasn't just because of the pitches. It wasn't because he needed to win. It was more about what the Yankees have done, well, what he has particularly done with eating up innings. We didn't have to go to the bullpen in the fourth inning like most of his starts. He took his deep into the game. He gave us a good quality start, and that's what all we ask out of most of these starting pitchers is to give us at least five to six, for the most part, for most of them.
Right.
Some of them could give us a little more than that, but for the fact that he did that, especially the type of night the Yankees had the night before, I thought that was really very good from him. Hold on, Ray, real quick. We're going to go to Jordan. Jordan, what's your thoughts? We're talking about Sonny Gray, and then we're going to get to the bats because I think that's the most exciting part right now with the Yankees and why we're winning all these series. But, Jordan, how you doing? Talking about Sonny Gray, what's your thoughts as far as his performance on Sunday?
Well, I think he's a good pitcher, but, I find that in the last few starts, like, he's been okay, but I just find that, you know, I hope that he'll have a better start this time because I find that in his last couple of starts, a lot of starts, he had bad starts and I find that Sonny Gray as a pitcher the season has been really on and off lately and very shaky. He doesn't seem to be as consistent as he was last season when he came over from Oakland.
Mm-hmm. So. Which Sonny Gray do you think we're going to see more of going forward? Was it the Sonny Gray we saw versus the Royals on Sunday, or is it going to be more so the Sonny Gray versus the Oakland Athletics on that Saturday versus the Athletics, or is it somewhere in between, or is it, you don't know? Well, how would you evaluate or take from Gray going forward?
Well, I don't normally know. I think that we're probably going to see in between Sonny Gray sometimes have good starts, sometimes have bad starts.
Mm-hmm. Now let's do it like this, Ray. I want to bring you back on. I want you if you have any questions for Jordan and vice versa on Sonny Gray. Let's get real interactive with it. So Ray, let me ask ask if you have anything for Jordan. Feel free to ask when it goes to Sonny Gray, and vice versa for Jordan, then we'll get to
the Bleed Blue Show, the Dugout Podcast.
My question is, as the season go along, is Sonny Gray going to give us what we need as far as any – is he going to be more of the pitcher that he was against Kansas City, or is he going to be – inconsistent? Because I feel that like this, I feel that Sonny Gray he's the weakest link in our starting pitching. And for me, I feel that Sonny Gray, it can be an important role if he gets, you know what I mean, he gets his fastball going again and all. But I just want to ask a question. What do people think about Sonny Gray going down the road?
I'm optimistic about Sonny Gray. I was at the beginning of the season. I know he got off to a rough start. And some of these podcasts we've done in the last several weeks, we've jumped on him. And a lot of Yankees fans jumped on him, as we should, because he was not giving his quality innings. He looked like he lost faith. He took too long to pitch, and his location was off. And he just looked like he was out of sync, out of funk. I think after 8 days of rest, I mean, he had a lot of time to really get back to the next start. So maybe that had a lot to do with it. Plus, he was pitching against the Kansas City Royals. So maybe some of those factors that are not usually as favorable to a starting pitcher as far as time off. And then, of course, who your opponent happens to be, a quality opponent. But let me put it like this. I'm going to go to Jordan, answer that question, and we'll get to the bats. Let me say it like this. I'm looking at this American League right now, let's say about a month and a half into this season. I mean, we've already played pretty much the top teams in the league. I'm talking about Boston, Houston, Cleveland, those type of teams. So there's a lot of baseball to be played versus subpar, average to subpar opponents. We haven't really got to the bulk of the AL Central teams like that. We haven't really played but the Angels in the West and maybe in the Athletics. We got the Angels coming up again. So we got some tough matchups again. We got Houston and the Angels at the end of the month. So I think that's a good barometer for Sonny Gray if he's in both of those series to see where we're really at. And I hope he can come out fair between those two teams. When I say quality innings versus the Angels or quality innings versus Houston, doesn't have, you know, if he gets bombed at one and he survived and he did okay in another, it's not the end of the world, but you know what? based on where he's been, I'll take that. But I think that's the type of those back-to-back series, kind of like when we went to L.A. and then, or Anaheim, and we went to Houston right after that. It's going to be the same way at the end of this month. So we'll see, man, how he fares against those type of opponents, because he will be due to piss against those guys. And Jordan, and one more thing, if we could bring you back on as far as Ray's question, it's pretty much the same question. So you're somewhere in between, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Well, I don't know. I want to be optimistic that, you know, Sonny Gray will be a good pitcher going forward, that maybe he will keep up some of the same starts that he had against the Royals. But again, you know, I'm not entirely sure. I guess we just have to see what happens with him, because I was not too crazy over him as a pitcher so far this season. Though I still want to see more good starts from him to be convinced again that he's a good pitcher.
Gotcha. All right, cool. Thank you very much. Let's get to the bats. Now, Ray, I mean, there's a lot of great things happening with the lineup right now. I mean, Giancarlo Stanton. I mean, can you believe it, Ray and Jordan, the fact that in batting average, Giancarlo Stanton has already surpassed Didi Gregorius? I would never have thought that in the month of April. I don't know how that happened. We know how it happened, but it's just still surreal that Stanton has picked up the pace. He had, especially that 4-for-4 day he had about a week ago, and he's really he's been really hitting the ball in the opposite field. He's been hitting the ball into the fountains in Kansas City. He's getting warmed up, is basically what you can say. Same thing with Gary Sanchez. We already know the philosophy, because if he's going to do a lot of those pass balls, he's going to have to deliver, and he's delivered with these home runs, man. He's been hitting the ball very well. He's been putting a lot of wood on the ball. Aaron Hicks, he's hit the ball well. I don't know. It's like with Clint Frazier coming into the lineup, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. With Clint Frazier returning to the lineup on Saturday, you got Aaron Hicks hitting the ball very well. He's extra base hits, triples, inside the park home runs. Got Boone's leading him off in the lineup. Gleyber Torres, I'll hold off on Gleyber Torres, but let's focus on Stanton, Sanchez, and Hicks in particular. And even let's talk about Tyler Austin. He had a monster game on Sunday, and in which is kind of almost a similar situation with him as in Aaron Hicks, because Aaron Hicks is looking over his shoulder with Clint Frazier, because we all know Clint Frazier had hit well in the minor leagues, and he had a great at-bats on Saturday. And then you've got Tyler Austin, kind of the same thing, knowing that Greg Bird's in AAA getting ready to return to the lineup. So let's talk about Stanton, Sanchez, Hicks, Torres, and Austin and Hicks, man. Ray, what's your thoughts on all those guys that I mentioned?
Well, Stanton's getting warmed up. So we already see that's evident. He is hitting lasers. He is hitting them out the ballpark. He is phenomenal. Hicks, it doesn't surprise me, because Hicks, when he's healthy, he can produce. He can hit the ball. Tyler Austin, he's coming around. He's hitting the ball real well. I kind of expected that. I mean, Didi did start hot at the beginning of the season, so this slump is kind of like expected for me, but I'm sure that he'll pick it back up. But and Sanchez,
you expected You expected Didi in all these at bats to go, I don't know, 2-for-40, literally. Like, you really expected that?
Not exactly this bad, Steve. But you know, I mean, sometimes, you know, hitters start hot at the beginning of the season, and they, you know, they lose it after a while. Sometimes they can go, it can go for a long time. Sometimes a short amount of time. It varies. But you know, I mean, I just hope that Didi gets back to the old Didi. You know, start hitting the ball. Sanchez, to me, man, he's just getting started. I mean, after him being in that slump beginning of the season, he's making up for all them pass balls by hitting the ball out of the park. I mean, he hit two, you know, against Kansas City in that series. I mean, he's just warming up. And the thing I gotta say, Steve, is this lineup is so deadly that for 1-9, any guy is a threat to hit a home run. That's what makes this Yankee lineup so deadly. And that's all I got.
Additional questions from me before we go back to Jordan. Let's start. It's a few I have. Giancarlo Stanton, what is it about what you're seeing at him at the plate that he's hitting the ball well? He's kind of a little bit more locked in as far as his approach to the plate, Gary Sanchez, or even Aaron Hicks and Tyler Austin. Like, what about those guys, what they're doing at the plate that you're seeing, that you're noticing, that you say, hey, man, they're really doing their thing? And then we'll go back to Jordan, and I want to get Jordan's thoughts on that as well.
Stanton, for me, he's seeing better pitches. That's what was killing him at the beginning of the season, that way he started with that slump. Now he's seeing better pitches. That's why he's killing him. Sanchez, on the other hand, he's hitting the ball with more favorable counts on his side. You know, with like a 1-2, or even when he's 1-2, he's still finding a way to hit the ball, and that's what's making him so dangerous. So now, and then Hicks and all these guys are being more patient at the plate. They've seen better pitches, and that's why they've been able to produce on the plate.
All right. Now hold that thought, Ray. Let's go to Jordan. Jordan, what about you as far as Giancarlo Stanton, Gary Sanchez, Aaron Hicks,
yeah,
Tyler Austin?
Find that Giancarlo Stanton. I find that Gene.
Oh, hold on. Go ahead, Jordan.
It's a show that I'm participating in.
Jordan. All right, we're gonna go back to Jordan. Because Jordan's kind of busy right now. Ray, let me say this. Giancarlo Stanton, I think he's going the pitches that I've seen that what I really like. He's not trying to pull everything. He's going with the pitches, and he has an awkward closed stance where the front leg is close to the plate and the back leg is kind of back. That's kind of his normal stance. But I thought earlier in the season, in the first month, he's pretty much forcing himself to pull everything or try to hit everything long. But I think now he's trying to put the ball on the bat, put the batter on the ball. For instance, I'll give you an example. And this goes back to the home series versus Oakland, where he had some good at bats going opposite field, and they were slap singles, long singles. And I think he's carried that over going on the road. And I think you make a good valid point with him in the four hole. For instance, with him batting behind Didi Gregorius, and I don't know, for whatever reason, whoever's in that three hole kind of struggled in this season, because when Stanton was in the three hole, Didi was in the four hole, Didi's numbers, it was off the charts. Now Stanton finally was climbing out of the 202. Well, he was in a high. What, 180s, 190s, climbed up to 202s and 212s. All of a sudden, he's somewhere, I think he's like in the 250s at this point. But he's taking what he's getting, and he's really making the pitchers pitch to the zone he wants to, not the pitchers dictating the pitches that they want to. That's what I'm noticing out of Giancarlo Stanton. When I go to Gary Sanchez, to me, he's really about the fencer. It's fencer die with him, man. He's swinging for the fences for the most part at every at bat, man. And it really tells, man. And I think he's kind of locked in that sense. I think Stanton is more about the base hits these days, and if he sees something in the zone that's in his wheelhouse, he'll definitely take it to center field, left center, right field. He'll take it all over the park to where he wants to. But I think he's realized that he doesn't have to hit it out of the park, knowing that this offense is so deep. So when I say that, this is not Miami. This is not the Miami Marlins. He's knowing that, well, I don't have to try to hit out the park every time, knowing I got other quality bats behind me, where I think that was kind of his mentality a lot, especially in Miami, even though he did get off to slow starts in Miami. Now, Tyler Austin, I'm kind of surprised at that, because He hasn't hit the ball for average all that well. But I'm just talking about the game over the weekend versus the Kansas City Royals, man. I mean, he hit some bombs, man. He hit some bombs off that lefty for the Royals. And now my point about Austin is the same thing I'm going to say about Hicks is Hicks got Clint Frazier, who came into the lineup on Saturday, made his, start, his season, season debut at bat versus the Royals on Saturday. So Hicks kind of has to play well to at least keep his spot. We already know Stan ain't going nowhere. Aaron Judge ain't going nowhere. Brett Gardner's not going nowhere. Aaron Hicks is kind of like the odd man out in the sense of I need to produce. I need to play well. And Aaron Boone's like, hey, show me what you got. And next thing you know, he's hit the ball pretty good, pretty well versus Kansas City. He's hitting it to right field, you know, pull hitter. Hitting to the gaps, hitting straight center, straight away center field, and he's a decent glove out there in center field too. So I think he's done a magnificent job as well at the plate. Knowing that Clint Frazier, who had great at bats in the Kansas City game, he had a couple of walks. I think he had a hit. Yeah, he had a hit as well. Clint Frazier's a good professional young hitter, man. And then knowing that Tyler Austin's got Greg Bird pretty much peeking over his shoulder, because that's what Yankee fans has been talking about, and we all know that because when he gets back, they're going to have to do something with the lineup, and I don't know how they're going to mix and match it. So those guys in particular, at the approaches at the bat over the over the weekend, has been pretty damn good. Now let's try to go back to Jordan. Hopefully Jordan is back with us. Jordan, are you with us? And if you are with us, what is your thoughts on Giancarlo Stanton, Sanchez, Hicks, Austin? Tyler Austin, and then even if you want to bring up Didi Gregorius, because we haven't seen him in a couple of games as well up until this point. So, Jordan, are you back with us?
Yeah, I'm back with you guys. I'm sorry about that. I was telling my brother about something. He's gone now. But anyway, I want to say Giancarlo Stanton. I find like he's been very he's been very very good likely lately. He's been starting to heat up and I think that you know a lot of fans were booing him when he got up to the plate. I think it was pathetic and sad in my opinion. I was like I said to myself like guys, it's too early for you guys to be booing him like just give the guy you know a chance like maybe. You know, he just needs to adjust to being on the Yankees, and especially being in the AL and just needs to adjust to the way that the pitches are being thrown. So that's why just you know he'll be fine. Just give the guy a chance. No need to boo him like you know. I think that too many Yankees fans were panicking already over how he was performing, like especially with the strikeouts all the time. But in my opinion, I just think he'll be fine. Aaron Hicks is pretty good too, but you know he I find he was much better last season too. I think like Ray was saying that if Aaron Hicks you know is healthy, I think he can perform good as well. And DJ Gregorius, I think, is still in his slump, but I think he'll get out of it eventually because Gregorius too is one of the guys that is contributing to the Yankees offense as well. And the Yankees have also called up Frazier for Triple A Scranton, and Frazier is starting to hit again. And that's also really good, and I think that the Yankees will have a more offensive power too, firepower too, when Greg Bird is healthy and comes back from injury too, because he's also another guy as well that is very good and can hit a lot of home runs too, provided when he's healthy, of course.
Let me ask you this: how do you feel about Aaron Hicks in the sense of Clint Frazier? You saw his at bats. who if Hicks continues to hit the way he's been hitting, and then you got Clint Frazier, I think you're going to see a lot of what we saw out of Clint Frazier on Saturday. Who would you stick with if you had to pick? Would you stick with Aaron Hicks, or as far as that fourth outfielder, or would you go to Clint Frazier, knowing that he's the young guy, you want to get him more experience? Like, who do you pick? And then the same thing with Tyler Austin. How would you divide up the work with Tyler Austin and Greg Bird?
Okay. I would say Clint Frazier, because if Aaron Hicks can't really hit, there's really no reason why he should be in the lineup. Like, send him down to Triple A Scranton or something. Eddie, you should go home now.
Okay. I'm going to use restroom before I leave.
All right, Jordan's busy, man. We gotta keep it moving. All right, Ray, I gotta ask you this same question: Aaron Hicks, Tyler Austin. As far as here's the situation I'm trying to draw out for you, Ray. With Aaron Hicks, right? If he hits like what we saw he did over Saturday and Sunday versus the Orioles, and he continues that pace, and then you see what Clint Frazier is about, and he's going to make you pitch. He's going to work the count. He'll hit you, get some singles, he's going to get you singles, some doubles, and he can hit for power here and there because he's a top prospect as well when we got him in the trade. Who do you favor between those two of them as far as that outfielder between Judge and Gardner? And then what about Tyler Austin? Same question, because if Tyler Austin hits the way he can hit on Sunday, how much – time do you see with him dividing that up with Greg Bird, any at all? Ray, what's your thoughts on those two, and then we'll move on.
Well, Clint, I'm sorry, I have to go with Clint Frazier. I mean, that kid is phenomenal, man. The kid can hit, man. I seen him hit Saturday, man. I mean, the kid is ready, man. It's just, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we might be able to go with a fourth outfielder in case somebody takes a day off. You know, we put Clint Frazier in there. Because let's be honest, Steve, I think Ellsbury's done for the year. He's done. I don't see him coming back at all this season. So, you know, it's going to be hard. But, I mean, Clint Frazier, that kid is amazing, man. I like the kid. The kid can hit. I mean, and you could tell, like, he's getting a lot better at the plate hitting. So that's and Tyler Austin, that's another guy. I mean, if he keeps hitting the way he is, that's gonna be it's gonna be tough because Greg Bird's gonna come back, and I don't know how they're gonna end up figuring something out because you can't send Tyler Austin back down if he's hitting the way he has, you know. So it's gonna be a tough decision for the Yankees to make. So, and that's all I got for now.
So why Frazier over Hicks for you?
Oh, I feel that Frazier's younger, you know, and I mean, people don't give him credit. Credit's due. Frazier can field, too. He's a hell of a fielder, too. He can field in the outfield. I mean, the kid is no scrub out there. I mean, he can field. He can hit. You know, I mean, not to knock off Aaron Hicks, but, you know, I think Frazier in the long run is going to be that man. And I would rather go with Frazier than Hicks, even though, don't get me wrong, Hicks has been playing good this far this season, but I like Frazier, man. I got to go with him.
All right, fair enough. I like Frazier, too. I mean, I'd like to see a lot of our youth, as much as we can get in, that can play the field. I mean, look at what we got right now. We got Andujar. We got Torres. We got Aaron Judge. And you can throw in a Clint Frazier, Gary Sanchez. That's five pieces. Greg Bird and Tyler Austin, that's seven pieces, just non-pitchers right there. As far as everyday guys who could play, get at bats, quality, young, and not even reaching their prime yet. I think it speaks volumes to where this roster was about 3 years ago to where it is right now. It's just amazing, man, with all the young talent. I'm a pro. Like, you're not going to get experience unless you put them in the lineup. So Clint Frazier is going to see more at bats, and I think he can deliver. And I like Aaron Hicks and what he's done. But I think this youth movement needs to be a total youth movement. And if it's going to be a case-by-case situation, because we're going to see with the series versus the Rangers, we're going to see this versus the next couple of series at home as well. So we're going to try to get more of these guys some more at-bats. And I think it's going to be a fill-em-out as well. But I think management would lean towards Frazier And then, you know, Greg Bird and Austin, it's a little tricky because you could go both ways with it. Just, well, I'll put it like this. Aaron Hicks is a switch hitter, so he has that somewhat of an advantage versus Frazier because, you know, depending on the pitchers or who you're going against, a lefty, righty, Aaron Hicks does have that flexibility for him. But I know Frazier will have some of those at-bats to say in the sense of getting on base, OPS, speed, using his bat. He's a good quality hitter. Where in the sense of Ty Austin Burr, it's a classic pretty much. If you're going up against a left-handed hitter, you're probably going to see more Tyler Austin. And, of course, if you're going to see a right-handed pitcher, if Greg Burr happens to come back into the lineup, you're going to see more of that. I want to move on to Gleyber Torres. And then we'll go back to Ray and then we'll get back to Jordan. But Gleyber Torres, I thought, had an interesting series versus the Royals. Friday, I thought single-handedly he probably messed up the whole game. People like may not agree with that, but if you really look at it, CC Sabathia wasn't like all he wasn't lights out. But the times where CC Sabathia could have got out of innings on Friday, with Gleyber Torres mishandling catching the ball in the outfield leading to a Royals run, and then also botching the ball on the ground ball led to another Royals run. And I think that's kind of what was the difference as far as what the Royals getting going to the start of the series versus the Royals. So he had a bad Friday. He took that and moved on to the next day. Had an excellent glove on Saturday. He hit a huge home run Saturday versus the Royals. So he had a tale of a bad fielding versus good batting versus power batting. He's got, I think, four home runs up until this point. So, I mean, he's been excellent. He had some bad moments, but he's had some excellent moments as well as the future second baseman as of right now for the New York Yankees. But, Ray, what's your thoughts? I'm going to go back to Jordan. But, Ray, what's your thoughts is what you saw from Gleyber Torres on Friday and as well as on Saturday, or the rest of the series, and how you think he's playing? He's hitting for average as well. He's batting well over 300. So, Ray, what's your thoughts on Gleyber Torres?
Well, Friday, you know, it happens. I mean, rookie mistakes, and it happens. You know, sometimes these guys come up, man, and they make rookie mistakes, but he learned from it, and he bounced back the rest of the series. I mean, Gleyber Torres, to me, this kid is phenomenal, man. I love the kid. Now I know why I knew what all the hype was about 2 years ago about this kid. The kid is hitting over 300. He got four home runs. The kid has power. The kid can – I mean, he's all around what I was hoping for. He's actually playing better than what I was hoping for. And a lot of people have said the same. So, to me, Gleyber Torres, man, this kid is going to be a future Yankee star. And don't be surprised if he is up for Rookie of the Year this year. So, and that's all I got.
Well, continue on that point. Why do you think – or what were your expectations of Torres? And you're like, what were you expecting out of him? And then how has he surpassed that?
Well, see, I got to say, man – his fielding alone, when you got his original position is shortstop, and then the Yankees in the minor league decided to put him on second, and the way he fields, it's like seeing somebody's been playing a game for 10 years. Like his whole infield awareness alone is amazing, and his at bats, like, I did not think this kid was that powerful. Until I seen some of the home runs he has hit. The kid has power. The kid can hit for average. I mean, that's my over expectations has been that I seen from the kid. I mean, I thought he'd have a decent year, you know, for his rookie year, you know. He'll hit like 260, 270, you know. But the stuff he's doing on the infield, fielding period and his bat, it just well exceeded what I expected from that kid.
All right. Thank you very much, Ray, on that. Let's go to Jordan. Jordan, your thoughts on Gleyber Torres as well. As far as we saw, his fielding on Friday was sketch. led to a couple of Royals runs, but he responded very well Saturday with a huge home run, and his batting has been very good at batting behind Andujar this season. But Jordan, what's your thoughts on Gleyber Torres, the good and the bad, but mostly good? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I want to say that he was called up from AAA Scranton a few days ago. I meant like 2 or 3 weeks ago. I believe. And I remember when after he got called up, and he made his major league debut. I find that ever since then, Gleyber Torres has been a really good kid. He's been hitting a lot of home runs. I think the bad is that he might need more time to play in the Yankees lineup to fully produce more at because I think right now he's still a rookie like Aaron Judge was last season, but I think that once he starts to get really, really good as a solid player for the Yankees, then he won't be considered a rookie anymore.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Thank you very much, Jordan, on that. Let's go to the infamous one, the Knickerbocker Avenue, our source for the streets on the Knicks, as well as huge, huge Yankees fan. I got to get your opinion on all the stuff we've already been through up until this point. First, let's start with Gleyber Torres. What's your thoughts with him batting-wise in the field on Friday? Or just overall batting or in his glove work in the series versus Kansas City Royals? And then also, we talked about the bats as well offensively with Giancarlo Stanton and what you noticed with him, Gary Sanchez, Aaron Hicks, Tyler Austin. Who else? We're missing somebody up until this point. Oh, we talked about Sonny Gray as well. Do you believe in Sonny Gray? That's a lot of points that we set up until this point. We need that opinion from you. Knickerbocker Avenue, what's your thoughts on all those guys?
Well, good evening, and pardon my tardiness, folks. But let's start off with the Gleyber Torres. It really did disappoint me that Friday night against Kansas City that he had a huge costly error, but he did bounce back. I can almost forgive that because just like Jordan just said, the kid just came up about a little less than a month ago, and what he's been able to do thus far is pretty much light up the scoreboard and put up, some really good numbers, with his batting, batting for average, batting for power, seeing pitches. He's doing all the necessary things. He's wearing out at bats. He's doing all the essential things, for a kid that's only been in the majors for a little bit over a month. In terms of the, the fielding, it's bound to happen. I mean, the kid, you could almost chalk that up to rookie mistakes, your head's maybe not in it, it may space out a couple times, or, the ball just sticks to where it happened, it's just not used to it yet. So those kind of things you're assumed to expect, especially in the infield. But besides that little blemish on his record, what hasn't this kid done, to get quality outs, to keep runners from scoring? He's done all the essentials. He's been a good double play partner with Didi. He's covering up a lot of ground on that right side of the infield, because we all know first base is pretty much stationary. But for all intents and purposes, he does what he needs to do. So I don't think that, we can really, we should be ready to crucify him, especially the way he bounced back. He bounced back like a true pro with pure poise, and he's still doing the essentials, wearing out at bats, seeing pitches correctly. And baseball is a guessing game, but he's playing like a true pro. Sonny Gray, that pitching performance to me was typical Sonny Gray. Am I ready to believe in him? I've always kind of wanted to believe in him, and for the most part, I kind of do. I think especially when it comes down to the warm months, you'll start to see that he doesn't get the necessary run protection, but he does do what he needs to do in order to keeping the score close. You know, he's susceptible to a long ball, or he relies too heavily on his defense. Sometimes, you know, as a pitcher, you have to pitch towards your defense, not have your defense adjust to you so much. So I think that, you know, once he starts to, you know, once we get into the warmer months and the season goes along, you know, he should be able to keep his ERA around that 3 level. And I think that's pretty good considering this day and age of baseball with these crazy scores. I mean, if you've seen around the league, scores are looking like football scores. The Yankee offense, Stanton, to me, is also doing the essentials. He's seeing a lot more pitches. He's wearing out at bats. He's not just trying to golf everything into the bleachers, which is what I want to see. I want to see him hit those long doubles. I want him just to get hit for average, get on base, become a threat not just with the long ball but with the bat in your hand. Period. Be a complete hitter than just being a one trick pony. Judge, between him and Didi lately, I kind of been seeing, like the slump kind of comes and goes. Like sometimes I'll see Didi, have a pretty good at bat and foul off some tough pitches, and then there's sometimes where I see him as like, he's pressing. I see the same thing with Judge. Sometimes he's just pressing, trying to keep up with the flow of the game, and really he should just. Both those guys need to let the game come to them as opposed to, trying to overdo, because both of them are excellent fielders. They're great athletes. They don't need to, do too much, especially when the team is already winning. And you have enough guys to back you up in that lineup. What else was there? I'm kind of lost a little bit, Steve. Help me
out. So you got the pitchers, Sonny Gray. On Sunday, if you want anything else you'd like to add with that. And I have a couple of things. What about the Tyler Austin effect with him and Aaron Hicks? You got two guys who are ready. You saw Cliff Frazier come to the at-bat on Saturday. You got Greg Bird and getting on batting. What's your thoughts on those guys? Those guys are hitting well. You got guys that pretty much people may want to see them replace.
Well, the Greg Bird, we already knew that was going to be an issue, and you basically have to just look at Greg Bird and see, is he exactly like, I believe it was Rayson who said it, he's kind of like Nick Johnson 2.0, or is he, or is he ready to be the everyday first baseman and the guy that we hoped him to be in terms of when it came to those quote-unquote baby bombers last year? I don't mind sitting Austin for a couple of games. I mean, we do have the DH. It could be one of those days where you have, both Stanton and Judge out in the field. You might have to sit one of them, just to get, because we definitely need Bird to get at bats. I got to say something about the Hicks, those two inside the park home runs. Those two, both of them, the first one, he hustled that one. That last one, that was like the defense just pretty much gave up. And I mean, when you have an inside the park home run and the guy is like slowly trotting standing, that means the defense just gave up that run. And but you have to give Hicks the credit to be able to locate those pitches. Make good contact. Almost each one of them, have potential of just going out there, on their own right. But it, the defense, basically gave up those runs. But you still credit them Hicks. Excuse me. And it's great to see, that the Yankees, these Yankees are doing more and more historical things. First rookie to do this, first guy to do that. Aaron Hicks, the first Yankee to, hit two inside the park home runs in the same season. I think in even the same month, for the first time since, what, Mantle? I mean, these are like, these guys are racking up records in this short season. And I mean, if you're a non-Yankee fan, or you're more of a Met fan, you have to look over in the Bronx or turn on the YES Network and be like, oh boy, it's starting to seem like this team could be like a new assembly of Murderers Row, because you do have guys in Triple A, in Double A, coming back from injury, who you already know can tear the guts out of a ball, who can be very productive, and that makes the Yankees very scary. Also, it gives the Yankees more assets for them to deal with teams coming the July trade deadline when it comes, because we obviously still need another frontline starter. I don't necessarily believe in Jordan Montgomery, and I don't think that you can really think that Domingo Herman can fill that spot all the time, you can keep on just going on with his four starters. So I really think that this is a good problem to have, and one of those guys you have to play them in order for them to look attractive to other teams when it comes to the July deadline, and now you can start negotiating. And maybe they can pull a Bumgarner, or they can pull a Zimmerman, or who knows? Maybe Kershaw might be done with L.A., and it might be time for him to move somewhere. You don't know that, but these are situations that you want to have. You have a roster up and down the lineup, up and down your organization, that can be attractive pieces to other contending teams, if not for this year, but for the years to come.
Right. Thank you very much. I'll say this real quick, because I thought one thing I did notice watching the game on Saturday is, even though it looks fun to have Stanton in left field, Aaron Hicks in center, Aaron Judge in right, you still need Brett Gardner in the lineup for especially defensively, because I thought the Kansas City Royals hit a lot of two-gap doubles on Saturday, and I think a lot of those would have been minimized had been the speed of Brett Gardner chasing down balls in the gap or just catching the ball. Because Stanton, not to say Stanton's not, I'm not saying Stanton's a bad left fielder, and I'm not saying Aaron Hicks is a bad center fielder, but I thought when Severino was not on his game on Saturday, and I thought the Royals took a full advantage of hitting those gappers. Thank goodness that the Yankee bat showed up, because Severino wasn't all that great in the game on Saturday. He got the win because of an explosion from Sanchez and Stanton and Torres. And you saw what Av said about the inside the park home run. He even manufactured some runs, and he had some good quality at bats. I thought it goes without saying about the defensively about the Gardner. So just to keep that in perspective. We also got the three games, like I said earlier, versus the Rangers, got huge games versus the Astros and the Angels as well at home. Let's go around for final thoughts. Ray, if we could get a final thought from you as far as this upcoming series versus the Texas Rangers. And, of course, like I said, with the Astros and the Angels once again. And then we'll go to Jordan and then wrap up with Av. So, Ray, what's your final thoughts?
The Rangers series, we probably gonna win 2 out of 3. Our next test is gonna be the Angels in Houston, and that's gonna really tell us. I mean, we already beat them, but we're gonna be at home, and that's really gonna tell us how good this team is. And if we can win both series, then man, this team is gonna be something special, man. That's all I got.
One more thoughts. What's your thoughts as far as Domingo Herman getting a start versus I think Cole Hamels? That would be Tuesday's game. What's your thoughts as far as Domingo Herman getting the start, and then I go to Jordan for final thoughts as well?
That's going to be good pitching matchup. I mean, if Herman can pitch like he did last time, then we'd be all good, man. We'll be all good. We'll be good to go. That's going to be good pitching matchup.
All right, shout-outs to Ray, man. Thank you very much, Ray, on that. And, Jordan, can we get some final thoughts as well from you, and then we go to Av. Real quick, give us about a minute on your final thoughts, Jordan.
Yeah, I want to say that, the Yankees will have a big test against the Texas Rangers. I hope that the Yankees can at least take two out of three from them, or maybe even a sweep because the Texas Rangers, as you know, have not been too well this season. They're at the bottom in the basin of the AL West. The Angels and the Yankees probably could beat again and probably could take two out of three from if they do win the series. Now they may not sweep them, but they probably will at least take two out of three. Also, who are they playing after that? The Astros, right?
Right.
I think Houston is a bit more much more tougher to beat, but I won't expect a sweep of the Astros, but I hope that they'll take at least two out of three from them. Are these series away or they're at home?
Astros and Angels will be at home. We already played them in their building about, 2-3 weeks ago. So it will be in the Bronx. Yeah.
Okay. And I was saying, what about the one with the Texas Rangers?
No, that's a road game.
Okay. So, I think that all these series should be fun. To watch, and I hope that the Yankees can just keep this momentum going because it looks like that the Yankees so far have been really impressive thus far. Even though they started the season off slow, I think that they have started to find their groove and have been really on fire lately.
Right. Jordan, thank you very much on your comments on Talking Yankees Baseball on this Midwest Road Trip episode. Avenue, your final thoughts?
The Texas Rangers, to me, I'm not concerned at all. They are in the basement of the AL West, and they haven't been playing really good ball. Besides, Cole Hamels hasn't survived, hasn't had a good outing against the Yankees, I don't believe, since the 09 series. So I think Herman just needs to, pinpoint his spots in that first game. And I'm not sure who they're playing, who's pitching the other two. But obviously the bigger test is, the Houston Astros, especially if we see Verlander again, because Verlander does have a big chip on his shoulder, when it comes to the Yankees. Hell, I think the whole Houston Astros team has a big chip on their shoulder, considering that the Yankees took 3 out of 4 from them at Minute Maid Park. So that should be a good series. I expect from the Yankees to sweep Texas. Hopefully, they should be able to win against Houston and definitely win the series with the Angels. I just don't think that when it comes down to pitching, I'm not worried about the offense too much. They can all have an off night, but I don't have a single doubt in my mind that they can come out with another, 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10 situation again, because this team is just that. The pitching has been there, the bullpen has been solid. It looks like Boone has picked up on it. Don't pitch potatoes more than an inning, and you'll be fine. And it's hard for me to say that, because, he's family, but whatever. But as always, it's fun to be on the show. Real Fans Talk here. Can't wait till Wednesday night when we talk about, the NBA playoffs, because I know we have some things to talk about on that one. Until then, Knickerbocker Ash signing out. Tangrasu all day, every day. Bleed Blue on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
And as Avenue said, we'll be on his platform, his podcast on Wednesday, talking Knicks basketball. Because I'm going to bring up the contracts, talking about bad contracts the Knicks currently have in all time. I think that's having a fun dialogue with that, as well as the NBA playoffs, which sucks right now. So we're going to talk some NBA Knicks talk of our own teams for a change, yo. So for Ray, Jordan, and Nav, we're out, man. It's time for y'all. So this episode is going to be on the website, bleedblueshow.com, iTunes, if you got a smartphone, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Podcast Republic, and all that other good stuff. So I'm going to y'all. So we're out of time. Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.